Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Ever wonder what you'll look like in eternity? Will others recognize you as you looked on earth? Believers are promised a glorious, incorruptible body. And today, we'll explore what it will be like when one day we will walk the streets of gold. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we conclude a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. Now, Erwin Lutzer comes with a final look at the gift of glorification.
I don't know whether or not we'll be able to transform ourselves like Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration, but the simple fact is that we will have a glorious body. Everybody have a glorious body? No. Those who have been redeemed by Christ. May I quote the words of C.S. Lewis? Every human being, he says, is in the process of becoming a noble being, noble beyond imagination, or else, alas, a vile being beyond redemption. He says, remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. There are no ordinary people. It is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. Remember, everybody gets an eternal body. The redeemed and the unredeemed, but their environment is exceedingly different and difficult. And those who are not redeemed, their body is eternal, but it is not a glorious body. So it's going to be a glorious body. Let me say also, it's a powerful body. When Jesus wanted to move from Galilee to Jerusalem, all that he had to do apparently was to think the thought, I want to be in Jerusalem. This is after his resurrection, because we're going to have a body like that. And he was able to be there instantly. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to be in a number of different places. Only God is omnipresent. That is to say, he is everywhere. But if we want to move from one place in the universe to another place in the universe, we can simply think the thought and we will be wherever we want to be effortlessly. No need, you know, to have to do exercises. One time when I went to Lake Michigan, I saw all of these people early in the morning running. One of the things I noticed about them, not one of them was smiling. I mean, not one was smiling. And I'm not surprised. In heaven, powerful body. No sleep. No need for it. And by the way, the streets in the New Jerusalem, they could be straight, they could also be vertical. They might be horizontal and vertical. We would be able to travel effortlessly no matter which direction they went, up, down, sideways, because we're not limited by these spatial kinds of concepts. So imagine, it's going to be an eternal body. Eternal. That's what the Bible says. Imagine that. You know, we think to ourselves eternity and we say the word, but we don't think of what it is. Sometimes I've illustrated it this way. Imagine a bird coming from another planet taking 2 grains of sand every 1 million years. This bird shows up, takes 2 grains of sand away. How long would it take before the whole earth would be moved? Unthinkable. Eternity is a very long time. And yet the Bible says that we shall reign with him forever and ever into the ages of the ages for all of eternity. That is the eventual goal and the position of God's redeemed. Do you like his redemption that he provided for us? as sinners. Now what we need to do is to bring this down to reality. Don't ever minimize, based on Romans chapter 8, don't ever minimize the value of suffering. Suffering is valuable because we groan for glory. Suffering is a reminder of the fact that we want eternity to come. And the more suffering, the more we desire it. That's why all over the world where there is persecution, there's lots of talk about heaven. In places like America, where there is no persecution, where everybody seems to be doing well, we don't talk about heaven much because we don't look forward to it much. The Apostle Paul says that the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he uses a different illustration. Chapter 3, he talks about the fact that it's like a scale. He says that the suffering of this present world works for us an eternal weight of glory. Some of us are old enough to remember, seriously, when they had scales that balanced. That is to say, you know, you went into a store and they had a 1 pound weight, and on the other side, you know, you'd put a pound of peanuts or whatever it was, and when they balanced, you knew that you had a pound. The Apostle Paul is saying that all the suffering of the world can be placed on one side of the scale. The divorces, the sickness, the rejection that teenagers sometimes find in high school or elsewhere, all of that can be put over here on this side. The death of a child. Put all the suffering over here, and then the glory that shall be revealed in us is over here, and the scale goes plunk. It's like putting a hare on one side and an elephant on the other. There is no comparison, the Apostle Paul says. And the reason that God brings so many trials into our life and so much suffering is so that we might look forward to glory. We groan, and we groan for glory. So don't minimize the value of suffering. God intends to use it in our life. It's part of what we read about earlier, that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Second, don't ever minimize the grace of God. The fact that he took us from the life of sin and on our way to a Christless eternity, he redeemed us, he cleaned us up, he gave us the blessed Holy Spirit as a proof of our redemption. It is like receiving a ring, and then he says, the marriage is coming. Never yet met a man who says, actually, all that I want, or a woman who would say, all that I want from him is his ring. That's all. I don't want this to go any further in this relationship. No, you know, the purpose of the ring is to prepare for the wedding and as a sign that the wedding is going to happen. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, is a sign. It is a witness to the fact that we are going to belong to Jesus forever. And so what does he do? He exalts us. I know I've quoted this verse before, but it has to be quoted again, where Jesus said, he who overcomes, to him I shall grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. And the reason we can sit with him on his throne is because we have a body like unto his. Never minimize the grace of God. And then never minimize the fact that we should look eagerly toward the return of Jesus. That's what the Apostle Paul says in the passage that we read from the book of Philippians, where he says that we await, and the Greek text indicates we eagerly await for the coming of Jesus Christ from heaven so that he will transform our earthly body like unto his glorious body. We eagerly await. Could I ask you something? What do you eagerly await for? You say, well, I eagerly await for graduation. There's no doubt that we have some people listening to this who would answer that way. Somebody else says, I eagerly await for marriage. Let me ask you something. How would your life change and mine if we really eagerly awaited the coming of Jesus Christ from heaven, being with him forever? never having any sin ever come between us and him again. Do you look forward to that? That is really proof of regeneration, because when we are saved, when we become Christians, God, by his Holy Spirit, implants within us a desire to love Christ. We love Christ, but we continue to love him, and we love him even more. Gustav Dor was a painter in Germany, and he painted a picture of Jesus, and somebody said, you must love Jesus to paint him like that. And he said, I do love him, but if I loved him more, I could paint him better. The desire of every single Christian is to love him more and to paint him better. And someday he's going to return, and our bodies are going to be transformed like unto his glorious body. And that will be true forever. But of course, unless you receive Christ as Savior, this inheritance is not yours. That's why I titled this series, The Inheritance of the Redeemed. The redeemed are those who've responded to Jesus Christ in faith, knowing that they cannot save themselves, but come to receive his mercy, his forgiveness, his righteousness as a free gift given to all those who believe, who acknowledge their need. To as many as received him, to those he gives the power to become the children of God, even to those who have believed on his name. I've said it many times, and I'll say it one more time. Life is short, eternity is long. It's so important that we prepare for that day. And if you're a believer, this is as bad as it's ever going to get. It's going to get a lot better. I can assure you of that. Praise God. Let's pray together, and then we're going to express our love for Jesus in song. Father, we thank you today for Jesus. Thank you for his unselfish redemption. Thank you that he remembered us in so many different ways. Thank you that he foreloved us, predestinated us, chose us. And already in his category, he has already glorified us, because you call those things that aren't as if they are. And for that, we thank you. Help us to worship Jesus well as we express our love to him. We ask in his name. Amen. My friend, you have just heard the last in a series of messages entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. In this series of messages, I emphasized all the blessings that come to us because we trust in Jesus Christ. I mean, we're talking about the gift of righteousness, predestination, the gift of an intercessor, the gift of security, and now, of course, the gift of glorification. I want you to have these messages. Listen to them often, share them with your friends, and be blessed by God's holy word.
Next time on Running to Win, we'll begin a series on investing for eternity. Our use of money indicates where our hearts are. So join us as Erwin Lutzer talks with us about worship that God accepts. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.